Okay, so v'amnam yamer al hakol, about everything, even vegetation, nizon, b'shituf Hashem levad, lo she'enyan b'chulam echad v'atzmo. Not that they're all the same, they're different, but they do take in things and they do give out, as opposed to stones. V'chini yamer al hadam, u'shar ba'alei chayim, margish. The human being is called a margish, he senses, b'shituf Hashem bilvad, lo she'ahergesh asher ba'adam, u'ahergesh asher b'shar ba'alei chayim. We call a man a margish, not because his hergesh is the same as a horse or a snail. They also sense things, right? Below a hergesh asher bazeh amin, who a hergesh batzma asher b'min acher. Each one senses differently. Aval kol min v'min me'asher lo, kol min v'min me'asher lo nefesh yesh lo nefesh achas b'lti nefesh acher. These are patently obvious things. V'yizchayev minefesh zeh pe'ulas eila minefesh zeh pe'ulas acheros. And each one has their own pu'ulos, each one has their own expectations and their own fulfillments. V'efshar she'tidme pu'ula le'pu'ula. Some of them do look alike, right? V'yachshov b'shtei ha'pu'ulos she'en davar echad be'atzmo ve'en ha'davar kein. And you might think that they only look to be the same, but they're really not the same. The way we sense, the way an animal senses. Okay. V'amashol bazeh, shloshem makomos chashuchim. Right, there are three dark places. Echad mehem zarcha olav haShemesh veHe'ir. One, the sun rose. Vasheni he'ir olav haYareach veHe'ir. Another one, the moon rose. Vashlishi hudlak bo haner veHe'ir. The third one, a candle was lit. Hinei kol echad mehem nimtza bo ha'or. Each one of them has light. Avol sibas zeh ha'or po'alo haShemesh u'po'al ha'acher haYareach u'po'al ha'acher ha'esh. Kein po'al hargashas ha'adam. Right, so, okay, each one sees light, but they all see light differently. So it's so too in the hargashas of a person. Nefesh ha'adam u'poel hargashas ha'chamor hu. Nefesh ha'chamor u'poel hargashas ha'nesher hu. Nefesh ha'nesher ve'en lahem inyan she'yikabtzeh me'elah b'shituf Hashem bilvad. The way a human being senses a donkey or an eagle is all different, and they're all gathered together in shituf Hashem bilvad, just as a hergesh. But of course, they're different. V'avein zeh anyan shu nifla ma'od yikashlu bo harbei mei ha'filosofim v'yischayuvu bazeh harchakos v'deos bilti amitos. It's we have to figure out what the Rambam is talking about here. But I think where it's going is where what you have amongst some, I think, you know, misguided people here also, is that since we're all coming from the same mush, the same hiyuli or the same something, right? So we're just evolved from them. Now that's an Indian thought. That's why they don't want to kill any animal, because this cow is a human being, you know, three or four Gilgulim from now. Right? So since we're all coming from the same stuff, right? They fail to recognize the ma'aleh of a human being, or the responsibilities of the human being, or the moral treatment the human needs above those other pe'ulot or those other hergeshim or whatever you want to call it, margishim.
He's proving that because of the different.
He wants to say that this misunderstanding this, which seems so obvious,
right?
But misunderstanding this has led the philosophers down a bad road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
he's just using logic here, though, right?
But I'm just saying is that. Philosophical roads that people have taken to guide societies are based on certain underpinnings, and if those underpinnings are you know, the Rambam will get there about what this has to do with Pirkei Avos. If the underpinning is morality, it may very well be that we'd be amazed if wisdom or chokhmah alone did not take one down the road of Nazi Germany. Right? Why should we be concerned with the people who aren't going to contribute to society? Why should we be concerned with the weak ones? We kill off the weak ones. Right?
Right.
All right, so, v'ashuv al kav nefesh v'amar, ha'chelek ha'zon, now let's get back to the original point, is that the zon, it's ha'koach ha'mosheich, v'machzik, v'ma'akel, v'hadocheh, v'moseros, v'megadel, v'molid, b'domeh. These are things that they consume, they digest, they excrete, they grow, they propagate others like them. Domeh means others that are like their tzelem and dmus. And they were very well aware in the ancient time that you know, two redheads are going to have redheads. Mm. Usually, they understood, if not DNA, they understood certain like gene passages, and that seems to be what Yaakov is doing in Parshas Vayetze with the goats. All right. Each one needs different things to fulfill these digestion or procreation or whatever else. Vadrim alelu shiva kochos, and there are seven kochos to these things. Right, he's gonna make reference to them. Umayasu veich yasu veize varim pulosam yoser nireis v'yoser nigleis. And what all these kochos do, some are more apparent and revealed than others. Right? Ma mehem nimtza tamid, ma yichle mehem lizman kotzuv, ze kula ro'i b'mlechas ha-refuah ve'ein tzorech lo b'zeh ha-makom. These are all necessary for doctors to know. Right? If someone is not procreating, they're married 12 years and they didn't have a child, so the doctors have to know what in the nature of this person is stopping that. What is unusual about this, and what do they need to do? Okay. And he says, let's start with he doesn't elaborate on these things, these kochos. Right? That's for his medical treatise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is not for my moral treatise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The margish, everybody knows, is five. Mimena kochos ha-chamisha, before simim eitzel ha-mon. Everybody knows. Ha-ra'us. It's coincidental that on Sundays, my Shir and Shmir lecture every other Sunday is... And it's not every other day, it's once a month. The next one is December 2nd. Is each month we're doing a different chush. So we already did, the introduction, then we did sight, the next one is touch. So ru'us is sight, shema is to hear, ta'am is taste, hareach is to smell, and hamishush is to touch. V'hu nimtza b'chol shetach ha'guf ein lo eber miyuchad k'mo sheyesh l'arba ha'kochos. Okay, I mean, the tongue tastes... Right, that's pretty. But different other parts of your mouth taste too. But this is pretty much tasting. Everyone knows this is smelling, this is seeing, this is hearing.
Right.
So, if I may digress, and then we'll continue with Rachelik and Dameh, is that this has to do, of course, with certain brachas that we make.
Right.
Right. So let's put aside the brachas that we make on mitzvahs. Right. Make on the lulav, on the shofar, on tefillin. Let's put aside the brachas that we make on shevach. You see the Grand Canyon. Generally, they have to be natural things. You don't make a bracha on seeing the Empire State Building, or even early on when it was made, it was such a wonder of the world. But there's no bracha on that. But you make a bracha on the Niagara Falls, on lightning, thunder, a rainbow. Those are called birchos hashevach. They're not birchos hane'enin.
Mm.
It's not, oh, I love, look at how beautiful that rainbow is. I'm getting hana from it. No. The only birchos hane'enin that you make is something that enters into the body. The food enters into the
smell.
Body. The smell, you can tell that what goes into the nose that makes you smell it is palpable.
Right.
Right? What goes into your eyes that makes me see you or a beautiful painting or goes into my ear when I'm listening to an amazing piece on the piano is not really entering the body like the smell and,
right.
and the taste.
Right.
So that's why there's no birchas hanehenin on seeing, even let's say an art expert sees an amazing painting that he thinks is the best thing he's seen in 10 years, is obviously getting a lot of hanah from that.
Right.
Or you listen to that you got your Sergeant Pepper and you got it for the first time in 1967 and the people went crazy listening to it and there was a lot of hanah. It was personal hanah people were getting, right? But that's not you get the new Harry Potter, you're getting a lot of hanah. Those are not birchos hane'enin, right? Because it doesn't enter the body per se, right? But the food does enter in the whatever enters your olfactory nerves that makes you smell something is a positive thing, and it's a detectable thing. So there's a birchas hanehen in on those things. Now,
I'm just curious, do we include in that something topical on the skin?
So that's an interesting thing also, is because on the last parak in the Seches Yuma, the Mishnah says that there are six things that are forbidden to us. But there's very famously Chamisha Inuyim. The Gemara asks, how do we know these things are forbidden? Because it says the word V'inisem five times in the Torah. Mm. But the Mishnah listed six things we don't do in Yom Kippur. Eating, drinking, shoes, Sicha, Rechitza, and marital relations. So the Gemara's answer in a few different ways is that two of these six are really counted as one. So what do you think they are?
Washing and putting an anointing?
Right. That's one opinion. Washing and anointing is one. It's really the same thing. You're washing, your pans are getting enough from this.
Or eating and drinking.
Another one's eating and drinking is one. There's a third one that they consider one. That anointing, not just washing, but anointing.
Yeah.
The pasuk in Tehillim like this, in Perikuf Tes. Anointing is like drinking. Your body's drinking.
Absorb it.
Yeah, body is absorbing this. Yeah. Just that cream here, now it's gone.
You can't use cream on Shabbos in any way.
If the cream is liquidy, in general, the print Moshe says to put it on your hand. He's very machmir on these things, you know. But if you put it down, and it's gonna, slow. If it just toothpaste is gonna stay there. So Moshe says, don't use regular toothpaste on Shabbos. Use very soft, very very liquidy toothpaste.
But if it drips off your hand, then you're okay.
Yeah, like suntan lotion or something like
but
that.
But if you have a cut.
So,
it bothers you,
so right. So that Rav Moshe says, that you're asking two different things. One is the general prohibition against meruach. One is shchikas hamanim. But since a cut can lead to an infection can lead. So any open wound should be just to take a dab and just like that. Gas tracing. It's a little disingenuous if you never do that. Although any the other day of the week and all of a sudden on Shabbos now I'm becoming a kanoi on my cuts, but. But
sure,
right. Yeah. So anyway, the point is that so I'll just conclude with this. I know we're on tape, so I have to be. Chassam Sofer has a tshuva about why isn't there a bracha on marital relations? Mm. First of all, it could be a berachas mitzvah,
right?
Even if she's not pregnant, right? Mitzvah someone knows a mitzvah,
right?
So he says. So he proves why it's not a berachas mitzvah. But then he says, what about a berachas hanenin?
Right.
And he says, well it doesn't have the, it's bodily, it doesn't, but it's not, it's his, he gives all kinds of explanations, some agadic, some purely halachic, of why there's no bracha. But then at the end he says, I'm not satisfied that these are worthwhile explanations. And he said, it might be worthy, just before, to take a drink and say, shakoni ebidvaro, and then have that in mind. Pretty amazing.
Because that's
Baruch Hu gave us different ways to have hana. We're a human being, and we know what hana does an animal get. Animal gets look at that more acorns. The squirrel says, "I'm so he's as pleased as you are, as if your stock tripled today."
Right.
Really, the dog who sees his ghost for a little jog in the park with his master is as pleased as you are, as if your kid got into the school finally that they were getting into, or my daughter got engaged or something like that.
Right.
It's amazing.
They're so happy and they're so thrilled and pleased. How do we know this? But you can see them running around and they're so thrilled.
We can learn,
right? So Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the Gemara says that when you're happy at something, it's part of your service to Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Mm-hmm. So the animals are doing a good job.
Yeah, they're doing better at what they're supposed to be doing than we are. That's for sure.
Yeah, they don't get hurt, right?
Okay, but they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Yeah, okay, it's our big, greater challenge for us to be doing what we're supposed to do, and for them, yeah. That's for sure. Mm. We mess it up for them. We mess it up for them. We create super horses. We create super pigs. We create we make gene therapy, and we mix them up, and we castrate them, and we do.
Right.
But the halacha doesn't allow many of these things. You know? Right. They do it for their entertainment and for their,
right. But what about the... Like,
when I say we, I meant humans.
Yeah, what about human beings, though, having dominion over the animals? Like, that doesn't mean to use them for entertainment purposes?
Rav Shua means that, you know, we're supposed to be doing it for productive. Productive purposes. You can argue what's been considered productive, you know, but to dress up horses, to run after each other and kill each other, and to lead these chariots, where human, you know, that's obviously it's something that's despicable. But Gemara says in the Zohar, in the first paragraph, you should try to go to these things so that you can at least testify. Yeah, I'm sorry, your husband died when he was fighting that gladiator. Because if there's no Jews there, how does, you know, the wife is in trouble? How does she?
Oh,
he showed he was pointed to fight, and then I never saw him leave. But how does she know that he's dead?
Right.
No one's going to testify there to tell this woman you can remarry. It has to be someone who's looking for it. Mm. Plus, it says that you should be matzpia. You know, they ask the crowd, should this guy live or not, and you can at least, you know, start to shout down yes. Yeah.
Really, big Martha.
Yeah. For those two reasons. Otherwise, it's a Moshe Bleitzim. It's terrible. Right. Despicable. Okay, guys.
So what would they say about